that need to be done from before. It doesn't have to be, but I'm assuming that you're going to do it from before. The question is the salt water, which is very easy, why can't they just do that on Matzah Shabbos before the Seder or not? Or do I have to prepare this already from before too? So just briefly the halacha, because I do want to spend time on the Divrei, on the Agada itself. So the Mechaber says in Hilchos Shabbos, Ein oisin me melech harbe biyachad. You're not going to make a lot of salt water. L'soich, why can't you make salt water? What are you going to use the salt water for? L'soich hakvasim. That's a way to preserve fruits, vegetables, as the Mishnah Berurah says, Yerek shekaisim oisin. You want something to last. Melech, salt, is what we use. Salt, it's interesting to note that salt is made up in the properties of salt. Salt cannot be burnt, and it doesn't get ruined in water either. It's one of the only things in the world that fire and water have no kayach over. And that's why it's lamala min ateva. We look at salt as lamala from what the teva of the world is, and that's why you want to preserve something. Teva is that things die, things spoil. So salt is what we use to make things live longer because it doesn't follow the properties of this world. And that's why we salt the carbon we had in this week's parasha. It's all for eternity. It's all for kapara, to be lengthened in our lives. And we will always find salt when it has to do with the same letters as lechem. Melech, lech, lamed, ches, mem. As the Olam might remember, if you really want to live long life, you take the first letter and the last. When I was speaking somewhere in one of the classes, my theme always is, the Olam here knows already, lev is the heart, and simcha, you actually have all the letters in melech. Lamed is the lev, and the mayach and the cham are all in the word melech. In salt, if you want to preserve something, we use salt water. So it's daima, says the Mechaber Le'ibud. You're not allowed to tan. That's one of the malachas. And being that salt water normally would be used to preserve, you're not allowed to make the salt water, even if I'm not preserving. But I'm not, the salt water itself cannot be made. That's what the Mechaber says. Avol, however, yochalasos mimenu ma'at. You are allowed to make a little salt water. To be able to put it inside a cooked dish, if you want to put salt water in a dish, you make a little. So from the Mechaber it would appear that making a little, we have to see what's called a little. The Nasan will say, however, if it's really salty, meaning that it's two-thirds salt, one-third water, then you're not allowed to make salt water. The Mishnah Berurah brings down a machlokes between the Taisa Shabbos and the Eliyahu Rabbah. If you're not making the salt water to use it to preserve, is it asr or not? So lahalacha, he brings down, I put it in the bold, avala Eliyahu Rabbah, oisa Eliyahu Rabbah, it's asr, even if you're not going to use it to preserve. And he brings the Meiri, if it's ma'at, then it's nikkur, you're only doing l'tzayruch shah, for now. Mashenken, if you're making a lot, yizru shah, it looks like you're doing l'tzayruch shah for the next night, and therefore we need problematic. Now salt water, most of us use it twice, Seder night. We use it for the karpas, and then usually you're using it for your eggs. Later on also, you might be making a decent amount of salt water then, especially if you have a number of people at your table. So it's a little bit unclear. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah, how he explains the ma'at. Mishnah Berurah also says, hatafshel, you're allowed to do a latafshel, you can use it for bread, you want to dip, you could use it for that. That's considered a small amount. However, letzayrach aval asal asar kol, that's for sure. You can't make it for the weekday. And you cannot make enough salt water the first night of the Seder for the second night. You're preparing one night to the next night too. Says the Mishnah Berurah, afilu ma'at m'nei shenira ka'oisa m'rayas lichbash badagim. Why is a little asar? Normally when you preserve, you need a lot. Why would a little be asar if you're using two-thirds? We're going on the end of the Mechaber. Two-thirds salt, one-third water is asr even ma'at, because that's how you would salt fish. Shekein derech lasas marayas, this brine of the fish, kasav el yirabah, and el yirabah discusses other situations, but it's not clear to us. So what's the ma'at? Mnei shenir, okay, I just said the ma'at. Then he says, oimei melech, lipo. So now let's go to Tafayin Gimel, where the Mishnah Berurah talks about Shabbos. Pesach falls out on Shabbos. What are you supposed to do? It's really the same halacha for us. We can't do it on Shabbos. And we have now Yontif. Normally the salt water, we make Erev Yontif. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in Chol b'Shabbos, Yasam me'amelech, you have to make it before Shabbos. Lo yasa b'Shabbos, kimoi, like I learned in Shinchat Aleph, we just said, you're not going to make salt water. Im lo yasa kaidim Shabbos, and if you didn't make it before Shabbos, vein lo yachayim et slitbo behenim, now you don't have, yishasas me'amelech ma'at, make a little. To me, I'm trying to understand that. What's called little? No one explains what little is. He's make sure you only make a little. So again, Mr. Brewer is talking about Shabbos. Pesach falls out on Shabbos. You forgot to make your salt water before Shabbos. And now you come to say that you have to make salt water. So what are you supposed to do? Oh, you're allowed to make ma'at. How much are you making already of salt water? Harbay is you're preserving your cucumbers and you're preserving your vegetables. And still the Mishnah Berurah is trying to somehow tell us, you should have done it before. If you didn't do it before, make sure that you make ma'at. So ma'at must mean really a small amount of salt water that is limiting the size of maybe the bowl that you're making the salt water in. It's a little bit hard to know what ma'at is, but the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also holds you to do it. He's much more machmer than the Mishnah Berurah because he writes, in the Kitzur Esmei HaMelech, Afilu Kishachal Yontif B'Shabbos, Yas, you have to do a Me'er B'Yontif. You must say, B'Yontif, you need a Shinui. If you're going to make the salt water on Yontif, make a Shinui. What's the Shinui? It tells you. She'itin Tchilas HaMayim, which is interesting because I think most of us do this anyway. You first do the water and then add the salt. Don't add the salt and then add the water. Make a Shinui when you're making the salt water. Halacha, of course, because I didn't want to spend too much time on this, we'll go straight to the way the Piskei Tshuva writes it. It's easier because he just puts the Mishnah Berurah together. You should do it from Erev Shabbos. Then Shachach, and if you forget, you could do it on Shabbos. Ach, bekamus megbelos, a small amount. Kamash etzar, lishtamis lesuda achas. What you need for that meal. Again, none of us, I think, are making salt water for the next day. Besuloi. What? Next night, you mean? No, I'm saying you can only make for that meal. That meal, you can only make for that meal. You can't make for tonight. You can't make for the next day.
If you can't make for Matzah Shabbos, how do you make for Sunday night?
You can't. According to the kitzur, there's no difference. You can't make it Matzah Shabbos, you can't make it Sunday night. You have to make it with a shemit. You make it with a shemit. I'm just saying. Oh, right. Because the shina is only if you have no, you didn't do it. You should have done it before. You don't want to do things with a shina. Shina is a way where we are going through all the halachas of Hilchos Yontif. We're only going to commit what you should have done before. You really should have done it before. Now that you didn't do it before, okay, we'll let you do it with a shina. Which again, it's hard to understand what you need a shina for. The mechaber tells us over here, Abu Yachal Asis Menu Ma'at. You're allowed to make ma'at. It seems lechatchila. You're allowed to make ma'at. So unless they don't The definition of ma'at is so unclear that don't do it. Okay, but once you have to do it, make ma'at. Just to show you, because he writes the same thing in the Piskei Tshuva in Shinai and Gimel, which is our halacha here. Look what he writes. V'im lo'ev sekaidim l'shabbos. V'ein lo'ichayim. He's bringing down the Mishnah. V'or. So we see from here. She'yasa me'melech ma'at mizir. Very small amount. K'day enov she'yasbik l'tzarech tibol halayla bilvad. That's it, just for the night. Shouldn't be too strong. We just saw 2/3 salt, which I don't think any of you are doing anyway. And then he brings out from the Mishnah Berurah Tzmash, like you just said, you saw the Yontif Grey, the Yontif Tzmash Meal, there's no problem. Chatchila, you're allowed to do it. However, we just saw the Kitzur, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says not. Therefore, really, it should all be all the salt water that you're going to need for Matzah Shabbos, and also Sunday night should all be prepared already from Erev Shabbos. If you didn't prepare from Erev Shabbos, you are allowed to do it. Do it, follow all the paiskim, make it with a shina. Put the water in first and then add the salt. But make sure that it's still going to be ma'at. Try to do all the shinuim over there. And then you will be able to make the salt water. Now, it's interesting. Again, if we go back to what I said before, that the salt water that you're making is you're also going to use for the eggs. That might be a lot of salt water. So you have to, and also if you have a large family, if you're going to give everyone their own salt water, it's going to be usually a lot. So you have to just limit the amount of the salt water, especially for the karpas. You'll have a little salt water that's considered enough for everybody to dip in, But don't just make a lot. Usually we're not careful. You have a lot of salt water. Try to minimize the amount of salt water that you're making if you're going to make it. That's why being that we don't know what ma'at is, do everything from before and you do not run into problems with salt water. But if you need to, it's ma'at. If you're going to have you using it for eggs also, it's going to be a lot. You're running into problems. And don't, you don't... And everybody can make their own, right? Everybody can make a little of their own salt water. And that's what the Eitz would be, is that everyone make their own. Like Avi says, everyone, if you're having it for eggs also, then everybody should make their own. He says, nah, you're going to have a big bowl of salt water, and then it's considered not ma'at.
Why is the issue with volume and not ratio of salt water?
It's both. It's both, but we're not...
Certain reserve,
very good, but that would be usher if the ratio is going to be two-thirds salt, then it's usher all the time. I can't ever do it. None of us are doing it. Right. Still, even a little bit is considered meimelach where it's a lot, so it looks like even with that, they would preserve even in that too. You're 100% right. That's why the ratio is also, if it's two-thirds salt, totally also. Here, where it's, and it still looks like, that's why the Mishnah Berurah says, salt, when they would salt fish, this is how they would do it. But you're right. I agree that, and that's why the Mechaber holds like that. All right, let's go to the Divrei Agadah. We'll start with the question that needs a little beer. You can ask the question at the Seder. For those that need to ask questions, ask your family members. Why is it that we do not have a bracha on Dalet Kaislis? We don't make a bracha. Bracha to Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hashem, Yishanu, Mimim Tzoyse, V'tzivanu, Al Arba Kaislis. Yes, we did learn in the Gemara, it's only been the Rabbanan. We have many brachas on the Rabbanan. In today's daf too, we have the question if matzah is the Rabbanan or not. We make a bracha on eating matzah. Why don't we make a bracha on Arba Kaislis? So there's I'm sorry?
Every
question
is
a separate mitzvah. Yeah, but there's dollar cuts. Yeah, but all together. So make a bracha on all the mitzvahs. But it's what do you mean?
It's not,
every night is for your side, it's also a separate mitzvah.
I mean, when one of the brachas is on Kiddush, and one's on Agada, one's on benching.
Yeah, so either we could make four brachas on each kais. He commanded us to have a kais. Make four brachas. On drinking wine. Either that would be an option. I mean, they are going to say your teretz a little bit here. I don't know, but it's a hard teretz to understand because we are making four bar priya guffins. So we can make four bar priya guffins, right. And each cup is a mitzvah. If you know that each cup is a separate mitzvah, okay, so make four times bracha shekelisham tzai sivano to drink wine. So the maril says your answer. The question is, what does he mean? So let's learn the maril. I'm a maril. Hodol emi achten bracha al arba kais, kem tzivano lishas arba kais, nirali, shem deim ufuzari. It's all spread out. Behind the timer, that's why we don't make a bracha on halal by the Seder, because the halal split up. Okay, now halal split up, I understand. It's halal and we're splitting up, we can't make a bracha on. But the kaisis, we learned in the Gemara, each one is a separate cup. So if each one's a separate cup, so we should, what's the teretz? And then he also says, he gives another teretz, two out of the four, Kiddush and Birchas Hamazon, in any way were chayiv on another yontif. So it's nothing special about Pesach. Although there's a mitzvah dal kaisis, but we're not going to make a bracha when we anyway have these cups the other meal. Also, and then he says, now he has another question. Why don't we make Sha'as HaNisim? Which is, why don't we make the bracha Sha'as HaNisim? We say that bracha on Chanukah. That's why we're sitting at the Seder, Sha'as HaNisim. So why don't we make this bracha Sha'as HaNisim? His teretz is like this. This is the Maril again. Ve'ein mevarach in Sha'as HaNisim, ela mitzvah d'rabbanan. Only on a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Kikai Chanukah Purim, the tikma bracha m'shem anes. But Pesach is d'oraisa. We're sitting at the table to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzvahs with Pesach there. Gam im lo yahaya ha'nes. Gam im lo ha'nes. What does that mean? We're not celebrating the nes. The Torah tells us to eat matzah. So when it's a Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon is saying, celebrate a miracle, so we better make a bracha. Sha'as HaNisim HaBaseinu Bayamim, we're celebrating the Nes. Here, we're not really celebrating the Nes. Now, this goes into what we said in the Drasha yesterday, that Bavur says that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Why? To eat the Pesach and the Matzah and the Mar. So Pesach has nothing to do with the miracle. There's mitzvahs over there. Hashem took us out so we could be able to, that was what we spoke about, part of the Drasha was what the Bavur Zeh means. But according to the Maril, it fits in. And then he says, "Yeshayim Sayim Chamash Maskirim BeHagodas Hanes." The Kasha L'Rav. What does that have to do with the? There's no bracha really. Im Al Hashas and Nisan Avesenu Zelay Av Bracha. There's no. Where's the bracha? I Hashem Geolanu. There's no mention of Nes. Ain Bani Shem Lashanes. He therefore says that you only make Shas Nisan under Rabbanan. it needs beer. What does that mean? You only make shas anisin. Let's go to the Rambam. The Rambam says like this: Mitzvah saseh shal teru l'sapa benisim v'leish and asal v'seinu. There's a mitzvah to talk. B'leil chamish shas benisim shenemar zachar seyom azeh hashay yitzasim mitzrayim kama shenemar zachar seyom shabbos. The moridik ar sameach say over the ar sameach pirish. What explains the Rambam like this? Shemin atayro l'kadosh u'medibrei seifim l'zachar. We had the Gemara. Min atayro you have to make kiddush. The Rabbanan told us make kiddush alayayim. Now kiddush alayayim Friday night. Questionable the Ram, others say it's the rice. But Pesach, it's for sure the Rabbanim. And it says the Arsameach. If you don't have wine, you use bread. Right now, case matzah. Kein hu kan. Mitzvah na Torah. There's a mitzvah na Torah to mention miracles. Rabbanon said, do it alayayim. If you less lu yayim, then you say it on bread. Being that you have to say it on bread, you can't make a bracha shekin ishanam mitzvah v'tzivanu. On drinking dalet kaisis, because you don't have to drink wine. You can even use bread. So, the fee, the arsamech, we have a teretz to why we don't make asher kadishanam in tzaisa v'tzivanu, because if you don't have wine, it's not the wine is not the ma'akiv. The kiddush is the ma'akiv. How you do it, you have to do it either on yayin or bread. So, according to the arsamech, and that's the halacha, that if you didn't have yayin, you're going to have to go ahead and make kiddush four times on bread. Now, how many hamotzis are you going to make? It's really, really a good question. In other words, when are you eating the bread? When are you, you're starting with hamotzi at the beginning of the suda? And then you're not eating it later on? He doesn't explain that part of it. But the agada has to be all a pas. It doesn't seem you're going to be you're going to have the agada on the bread. The yayin is not ma'akiv. Doesn't answer, obviously, the teretz of why we don't make a shas anisid. So the teretz of why we don't make a shas anisim, we still have to go back to, for some reason, that we're not celebrating Pesach because of the miracles. We're celebrating Pesach because of the mitzvahs of the day. Now, there's another teretz that is brought down, which needs a B or two, and that is the teretz brought down in the Agadah, Shiras Hagula, but this is brought down by many of the Achrayim. L'niskinu bracha al davar shi'achal avi b'tzad. Being that when you drink wine at the Seder, sometimes you fall asleep. Sometimes you don't feel good. So the Rabbanan couldn't say make a bracha on drinking wine, because the Rabbanan are telling you to do something that is going to possibly be uncomfortable or put you in a situation where you're feeling pain. That's what he says. Shame, just like you don't make a bracha on tzedakah, it's not so easy to give tzedakah. Fika chem evarchin al arba kaisa, shechiyu ben tamen av shem etzdar, mehen. So all the in Eretz Yisrael, they sent the question out to many gedolim. We have brachas on bris milah, although bris milah is a tzar also to the child. What do you mean this is a tzar? Is there a mitzvah? There's no mitzvah. Just because the rabbanon are not being misakein a bracha on yayin, because when you drink yayin, it could be that it's going to be mitzar you. So the terutzim that I wrote over here, they bring down from Mark Zilbert in Eretz Yisrael, Yesh Lahavdil. But this is a Maradik Teretz, and this is this explains the whole night. Yesh Lahavdil by Mitzvah Saber Kaisis. She called Takanta in her life. Why? We have to show we're free. Ashel Ken Ein Levarachala, Kashay Yitachim Matze Grim Tzar. It's causing you Tzar. If you're drinking wine and you're going to fall asleep, or you don't, the taste of wine you don't like, or it's just not good for your stomach, so that doesn't show Cheres. So although there's a mitzvah to drink wine, they couldn't tell us to make a bracha. Shereyatzar noigiris acheris. It's opposite of cheris. Shekein ben cheren in a shaisa. Someone who's free, you don't force him to drink wine. Which is so true at the Seder. All the women are complaining about it. This much wine. I have to drink wine. There's so much matzah. We're supposed to be becheris. Kach gam mitzvah tzedakah. Ey matarasa. You want to be mesameach to ani. Alkein in levara. Kashel ani nidram tzar. The ani doesn't want to take your money. It's very painful for him to take your money. So you can't make a bracha where really you want the ani to feel comfortable. Oh, by other mitzvahs, the mitzvah is not that you should be besimcha. And therefore you can make a bracha on bris milo. So here, that's as you say, when it comes to Seder night, the mitzvah, the actual mitzvahs, we have to be free. But we're being forced to drink wine, which doesn't show freedom. Because who forces you to do something you don't want to do? So the Rabbanan couldn't say make a bracha. Oh, so you're all thinking, oh, what about matzah? Right. We make a bracha l'achilas matzah. What? Yeah, but I'm saying if the bracha would only be the rabbanim. Yeah. But the Teretz is...
According to his Teretz, that the matzvahs, why we have a Tarek Pesach, it would have been a chiyuv even without the Yitzchak Mitzrayim.
The which one?
The matzah is one of the... It's a mitzvah of the Torah, separate. Nothing not necessarily tied to Pesach.
Oh, you mean it's going back to what the Maril says that there's mitzvahs that we have over here that we have to do anything. Like Avraham Avinu was mekayim it, nothing to do with the nisim, right? If you're going to go with that mahalach of Bavrezeh, so it's nothing to do with cheres. It's a separate mitzvah. It's true. But the teretz is that matzah you don't get yes if you're going to eat too much matzah and you don't know the shirim, you're going to get sick from the matzah. But yayin itself, you see from the Gemara, people would. Yain itself is mitzar, especially if you have an empty stomach and you're drinking wine. From the Gemara, it appears that it's mitzar. The bread itself is really not mitzar. So lalacha, it's pasha. We're not making the bracha on the yain when we're making the when we're drinking the dalak kaisas. We have to realize, especially the feed of maril, that the drinking of the yain is a way of zochrei. While the yain is the kiddush is yes. But the yain is only midrabanan, and the rabanan we're not going to be misakin a bracha where it's causing us tzar. Okay, let's go through some short divrei Torah over here. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos like this: Rabbi Chazandri, Abasa the Matzah Yom Rachi. Rabbi Chazandri, after he davened, he said, "Ribayne, Elam im Golav Yedu Lufanecha Sheretzaneni Lasis Retzanecha Kadosh Baruch Hu." We really want to do Yeratzen. Umi Ma'akiv, what's holding us back? Sa'ar Shebi Isa. It's the sa'ar of the Isa, which is the chametz. Chametz is gaiva. We spoke yesterday. The shibud malchus. And also the shibud malchus that were in Galus. Sa'ar shebi Isa. The pasuk says in Shemais, Va'atem Shemai tishmu b'kayli. Hashem says, if you listen to my voice, shmartem es b'risi. V'yisem li segula. The ikar is v'yisem li. Should be to me. You should be my nation. So the Iker is Li. Hashem wants to Li. How do we become Li? So if you take the word Yisrael and you remove, I don't know if I have a word Yisrael here on the sheet, but just picture or write it down. Yisrael is spelled Yud, Shin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed. If you take the middle three letters of Yisrael, it's Sa'ar. If you remove, says the Gemara like this, if you could remove, Mi Ma'akif Sa'ar. Remove the letter Sa'ar from Yisrael, and what letter are you left with? Li. The Icarus is to get rid of the Sa'ar as the Gaiva. If you get rid of the Gaiva, the Sa'ar, then you're left with Behi Yisem Li, then you're going to be just Li. Li La'am, for me as a nation, Li, and that's Pshat, in Sa'ar, remove the Sa'ar. One of the questions that come up, we spoke about the Rasha, and the Rasha is, Shine Rishayim Shibarta, we break the teeth of the Rasha. Like to discuss with you the Bishat, and again, for those of you that want to say something over, which is a little bit more, I'm going to have to concentrate a little bit, but Gaelim will enjoy it. So I will share with you a little bit of my own Bishat, but it's going to be a mixture of a number of ideas and thoughts, but I think Gaelim will enjoy this. We spoke about, at some point, I don't remember when, the Adam Harisha in Kaitim HaChet. He was told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And there's this Nachash. Now the Nachash, spelled Nun Cheshin, that wasn't his name. When you look in Sfarim in Kabbalah, the original name of the snake was Ches. Chet. We say the letter Ches wrong. We say Ches. But the Sfarim say it Chet. Because it stands for sin. Ches, Ches. The Nachash's original name, Al-Pi the Zoyar, was Chet. Now, after Adam Arishan sins, the nachash is the venom is inside. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I need to weaken the snake. I need to weaken his name." Now, how do you weaken his name? You add names from Hashem's name. What letters do you add from Hashem's name? You take the letter Shin from Shakai, Shmira. You need a Shmira now. So you add a letter Shin, and what other letter? You take from the Aleph Dal Nun the letter Nun, and you add the letter Nun to before the Shin. Sorry, you add the letter Nun to before the Ches. And you add now also the letter Shin from Shakai, and you come up with the name Nachash. So the name Nachash was created, Al-Pi Desire, because of the weakening of the Ches, which was the Nachash. What's the other name for the Nachash? Satan. It was a test, because that's the second letter in his name. Chet. What letters do you add to the test? Also, the letter Shin from Shakai, and the letter Nun. And that's why the Nachash is Nachash, And he's also Satan. Right, so far everybody's following me. Right, we have Ches. Chet. Okay, good. The Malch of this, the name of the Satan, he has another name. He is in Shemayim, in this world, he's the Satan, he's the Nachash, but in Shemayim, he's the Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. He's the Samach Mem. Hashem, Samach Mem, needs to be weakened also, because he's Tukayach in Shemayim. So what do? We add Hashem's letters. Which letters do we add? Kael. Hashem is the Kael. Kael Agodo. With the Kael, we weaken the name of the Samach Mem, and therefore he's Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. Good? What happened by the Mabu? What was the Gzera Nigmaran? The Gzera is Nigmaran Chamos, right? Ches Mem Sam. Why is it Nigmaran Chamos? Being that we sin and the Nachash, the Satan, the Samach Mem were so powerful, so the letters that were added on didn't help. What are the letters don't help? Which letters are we left with? The letter Ches, right? Don't forget, because that was his original name. And then the Samach and the Mem, because those letters are very powerful. The letters of Hashem didn't help. So therefore, what was Nigmar, the Mabul, on? Chamos. Now we understand why the Mabul was Nigmar on Chamos. The Chet, because that was his name, didn't have the letters added on to weaken him. And the Samach and the Mem, and that's Chamos. The Teva had a certain measurements. Adam Nayach is going into the Teva. He needs to build a Teva to remember that we need to fight the Yetzirah. Don't let him go become so powerful. Therefore, how big was the Teva? 300 amas long. That's a shin. Right? That's our letter shin that we need. And then how wide was it? It was 50 wide. That's our letter nun. How high was it? It was 30. That's our letter lamid. We want to add. Don't forget, we need our letters back for the Samach Mem to weaken him. And after it was 30 high, va'amo techalena momala is an extra aleph. So the extra aleph, now we get back our letters that we were missing. We get our nun. Hashem Nishal, easy way to remember it. Nun, Shin, Aleph, Lamed. And now we weaken once again after the Mabul. Nayak goes into the Teva and we're going to weaken the Satan, the Nachash. And this is all based on Pi Hazayah. Okay, what letter are we seeing here is a letter of Kedusha. So now I'm going to be moving a little into the Bnei Yisrael. The letter Shin. Now, when you look at the letter Shin is spelled Shin and a Nun. Shin, teeth. Right? The letter Shin and Nun comes from the letter T. So, we are going to look at the different sukkim. We constantly find, in Tehillim, I'll read the pasuk again, I'll read it to you. Kum Hashem, Hashieni, L'kai Kikises, Kolaivi, Lech, Shinei Rishayim. Why are we talking always about the teeth? Let's break the teeth. Let's go to the next pasuk. The Rasha, what is the Rasha? V'ahaya kiyayim raleichem b'neichem ha'avoy da'zayis lochem. That's the Rasha. Frek the Mefarshim in Medrash says in Bereshis Rabbah B'chol Malkim Shnei Mavayi It's Tzara. V'hayyaz Lass and Simcha. What's the Simcha? We have a Rasha sitting at our table. V'hayyaz Ki Yom Aleichem B'neichem Ma Avayda Azayis Lachem. What's the joy? It should be sad. We're sad. The V'hayyaz Lass and Simcha. So the Teretz is, let us go back to understanding our letter Shin over here. A Rasha. Every sheker needs emes, because if not, you're not going to believe them. If someone is going to tell you a lie, and it's a total lie, you're going to say, I don't believe you. In order for sheker to have someone believe it, it needs some truth. That's why the letter sheker, what letter does it begin with? Which letter? Are we back to which is the letter of Kedusha? The letter Shin, from Hashem's name. So therefore, sheker begins with the letter Shin. Right? And Shin, don't forget, I told you. The letter Shin is Shin, Shin and a Nun, because when you write out the letter Shin, it's Shin and a Nun. So when you have a Rasha, why is there a Shin in the middle of Rasha? Because what's the difference, and we've spoken about this, a person who's a Rasha, you're defining who they are. Ra means that they're doing something bad. It's a big difference then. When you call someone a Rasha, you're referring to him. You don't refer to what he did as a Rasha. He's a Rasha, you're defining him as a person. When you say someone's Ra, they mean they did something wrong. You're not defining them. What do we want now? The only reason why the Rasha, we're afraid of this Rasha, is because of his influence on others. He can only influence others if he has this letter Shin, which is a letter of Kedusha. People start to follow him because he is now trusted. If we can get rid of the letter Shin, he is left just being Ra. He has no influence on the rest of the world. So therefore now, says the Bnei Yisrael, it's beautiful. Why Shinei Rishayim? Shin. The letter Shin from the word Rasha, Shibarta, that's what we have to remove. We want to remove the Shin from the, then he's just Ra. Oh, as Ra, we have what to work with now. Because he's not going to influence others. We also make him believe that what his beliefs are wrong. He thinks, listen, I'm right. And therefore he does what, if we can prove to him that he has no standing, he then will start to begin to listen to us. Oh, so now it's beautiful. We understand Vahayo. Why? What's the Vahayo? What's the Lashon Simcha? So once again, we have to go back to the Sfarim that talk about the what went on in Mitzrayim. I spoke yesterday about Makas Chayshech and how those that died by Makas Chayshech are going to be there with us when Mashiach comes. However, there's more to it. The Gemara says that everyone that was at Har Sinai, we were all at Har Sinai. Neshamas were there. We might not remember. The great people remember them being at Har Sinai. But we not only were at Har Sinai, we were also going through this process of being cleansed when we were in Mitzrayim, says the Sifrei Kabbalah, and the Neshamas went through this process also, all the future generations, I should say, that were going to eventually be born, had to come to this Matan Torah. If we were all at Matan Torah, and everyone who's in this world today had to have been by Matan Torah, because that's what we were told, that means that they're better than those that died during Makas Chayshech. Because those that died in Makas Chayshech never made it to Matan Torah. But all those that are alive had to have been by Matan Torah. Says our piece Sifrei, the Agur Dekala says this, Agur Dekala says that if there's a Rasha standing in front of us now, he had to have been by Matan Torah. Now, if he's by Matan Torah, that means that even though he's maybe looks to us like a Rasha, but he's going to have children or grandchildren that are going to be Roy to be in Klal Yisrael. As Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayifin Kai V'Chai, he has to look to see. So if we have a Rasha sitting at our table, it means that we have an opportunity to get rid of the Shin, get rid of that, so this way maybe he himself we can't change. But if we can just change a little bit, his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren will be sitting at our tables. The Gemara Masechtas Ksuba says, never take away a Yerusha from one sin to the next, because you don't know who the grandchild's going to be. So let me just repeat, according to what we're saying. If there's a Rasha at our table, we were told, and that's what's all Sifrei Sfarim bring down, we were all at Har Sinai. That means this person sitting in front of me is a Rasha, had to be by Har Sinai too. Now if he's Har Sinai, it must be that he was Zaycha to leave Mitzrayim, and not only is he Zaycha to leave Mitzrayim, why? Because at some point later on in history, there's going to be someone that's going to come out of him. All those neshamas were there, there has to be some Kedusha in them. If there's no Kedusha, what were they doing by Har Sinai? So although they themselves maybe don't have Kedusha, but their great their grandchildren, maybe their own child, will be Kedusha. V'hoya, so that's what we say now. V'hoya, it's a Lashon Simcha. Because if you're sitting at my table, there's hope for you. The fact that you're at my table, there's hope. Because v'yakiyimru aleich, maybe b'neichem, your children. So maybe you're saying, ma'avoydazois, but we do see hope. And the hope is, of course, if we can what? Knock out the shin. If we can take this child and we have hope maybe for him, maybe if not for him, we have hope for his children and his grandchildren. And therefore, it's a Lashon Simcha. We understand the Shein Yerushalayim. The Olam might remember a Vart that I said over. I say it always over because I think I was somewhere last week, and one, of course, in one of the seminaries, and then one of the girls said, Rabbi, this is not the Pshat. I said, if you don't want to hear this as the Pshat, it's fine, but to me, this is the Pshat. What does it mean we knock out the teeth of the Rasha? So a child is born, we love that child with unconditional love. We can be getting up four times a night, we can be running to the doctor, but we love this child. The child gives us nothing in return, zero. It makes a smile, or maybe it doesn't smile, we think that it's smiling. We love this child when it smiles, we love this child when it begins to take that first step. We love the child when it begins to walk. And we love the child as it begins to start to talk. The child doesn't give us anything in return. When do we begin to get frustrated with our children? When they're teenagers. Because at that point, they start to answer us back. And we tell them one thing, they tell us something else. We tell them this is no good for them. They say, you don't know what we're talking. They start to... So we become very upset with all this energy that we spent and all of this investing, and they answer us back. So we have this rush. It's very frustrating for the parent. Because Mechanach, my child, he comes to the table, asks, what are we doing? So yesterday in the drush, I spoke about what he's asking, but it's frustrating. Teretz is, Shinei Rishayim. make believe you're looking at a child who has no teeth. Make believe that this child is that infant that you loved unconditionally. Whatever he did, how many times he woke up at night, and how many times he had to run to the doctor. You love the child. So look at this child like he doesn't have any teeth. Look at every single person, and the way we're learning the B'nai Yisrael, it's beautiful now. Because even if he himself will not be this, but he'll have children, he'll have grandchildren. Don't give up on them. Don't throw them away. Shinei Rishayim is Shibarta, is means to say, make believe that their teeth have fallen out and they've gone back to the way they were when they were children. So you can understand why they said to me, this is not the pshat. I said, I know, this is my pshat. I said, we have Shivan Panam L'Taira. Shivan Panam L'Taira, you'll learn you knock out the teeth of the Rasha. But I will tell you that I think this is Emes L'Amitai, and definitely the way we're learning over here with the letter Shin also makes sense. We just have to get rid of that from the child who's asking these questions. All right, let's move on over here. Ma'aradika Yisoid. In the Agadu, Laman Tisaper Ba'aznei Bimchu Ve'mincha Esa Shasalat. We have a mitzvah to tell our children what happened in Mitzrayim. That's just Samti Bam. There's a Balaturim. Ma'aradika Balaturim. If you can explain to me what the Balaturim is saying, I would appreciate it. I will give you my... This is what Rabbi Yashiv said. Sha'ad kan rachmei o'aval aben. Up until here, a father loves his son. What do these words mean? In other words, tell this story to your son and your grandson, and up until here is rachmei o'aval aben. So, pashup shat, these words mean that a grandfather loves his grandchild, and therefore, tell over the story to your grandchild. And why is this mentioned here? By the way, Rabbi Yashin does bring a raya l'alacha l'maisa from this Balaturim that a great-grandfather is not allowed to hug a great-grandchild. That's what he says. Because the love of a parent and a grandparent to a grandchild is adkan, up until here. After that, it's not your relative anymore. That's what Rabbi Yashin said with the Balaturim. And when I saw him, Nissen Karel, it says it's Issa Yichud on a great-grandfather with his great-granddaughter because adkan, up until here, the relationship ends. After that, they're considered as if they're not your family. That's what Rabbi Nissen Karel says, and that's what Rabbi Yashiv says. But out of all psukim, this is where we have to learn this out from. So if you want to say over at the Seder, just to tell your children this, it's so important. We were talking a little bit about yesterday, if the dates in Jewish history are exact, or there was years that were lost, but we all sat at a Seder with our father, our grandfather, and they told us what their father said and what their grandfather said at the Seder. And we have our Agada dating back all the way till Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's how we believe. We believe because someone told us, and we assume that nothing changed. Why? It's brought down in many Svarim, and I'm sure you see this. Usually, I can't say all the time, but usually when you want to say over a story or you want to tell your child something, how can you lie? You love them too much. Why would you lie? You don't want to. We lie to people that we don't trust. We lie to people that we don't love. But you're not going to lie to your child. You're going to tell them the truth. So when we heard the Seder from our parents, we assume that they told us the truth because they love us. But being that we see that from here, that a great grandfather doesn't love that great grandchild as much as he loves his grandchild and his son, if they would say over the story, there might be a little twist in the way the story is actually given over. Because they don't have that love. Says the Pasuk, the mitzvah can only be from the grandfather to the grandchild. A great-grandfather can't tell his great-grandchild. Because the story is going to change. Once the story changes, then we don't have that Messiah dating all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. On this Pasuk is where we have to learn it from. Because the sight of Kal Yisrael is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. The only Zecher is because my father told it to me. And his father told it to him. If it would have been the great-grandfather anywhere along the line, we would not have that Messiah anymore. Laman tesaper bosnei b'nchu v'en b'ncho, says the Baal HaTurim, adkan, that's it. You can't have a great-grandchild. The grandfather can't tell his great-grandchild because then the Messiah is going to break. There's one part of the Seder is Vahi b'chatzi alayla. We spoke yesterday about how it was yoyim. Let us see a Meridika Rashi. It's one of these Rashis that I think that we sometimes pass over when we learn Chumash. So Avram Avinu goes to fight with the four and five kings, and the night is split. He runs after them. What vayicholek aleihem alayla? Look, Rashi. It's a Rashi in Chumash. It's not a some random mafarish. It's right here on the page. Klaima. Acher shechashech aleinim alayla. Even though it was dark, Avraham Avinu still ran after them. Umedrish agola. What's vayicholek? Divided up the night. Rashi brings down shenechlek alayla. Uvechetziv arisha in the first part of the night. Naslenes Avraham Avinu had a miracle. He goes to war. What's the second half of the night? The chetzi hasheni in the second half of the night. Nishmar. Hashem's leaving over. Second half of the night, I'm going to save for the Egyptians to destroy them. Makas b'chayrus. This is what's going on over here. Avraham Avinu is going to war with the four and the five kings. And Hashem now says, let me split up the night. You, Avraham Avinu, can have miracles till chatzlais. I'm going to save the rest of the night for a different time. Leil shimurim, when I'm going to kill the b'chayrim. So there's one of the agadas that I saw as a Kerem Tzvi. But Zvi Hirschferber, so he wrote an Agada, and then he wrote some other svarim which are not even in print anymore. And he does write, just to read you, he brings this down. Kachatzais halayla, he says, what do we say? Why? We said yesterday in the drasha, kachatzais halayla, ani yotze b'seif mitzrayim. It's kichatzais. Why not? B'lo yamar bichatzais. And he explains, efshalayim kichatzais kichman chatzi halayla. Just like Avraham Avinu had miracles. He went to war. So too, I'm going to do to your children on the second half of the night. And that's kichatzois. Kichatzois is like, up until chatzois was this. It brings down by Yichal Kaleim Lailo. Hashem split it up. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avi and Paulimai b'chatzi alayla. Your father was Pael till midnight. Afani Pael, I'm going to do something for you too. Doesn't say what. What's the connection? So, because Avraham Avinu went to war, and because of that, Hashem killed the firstborn. That's what seems is going on over. And he brings the Medrash Rabbah. Amalek says, "B'dai ochat chati alaylo." So let's split it up. You did the first half of the night, Avraham. I'm going to do the second half of the night. And we actually say this, "Vayibach chati alaylo." What's the connection to Avraham Avinu? So it's just a beautiful pshat, and therefore it's the last one on this side of the sheet. Yesh lo b'mah shayich has been shnei ma'isim. Well, Avraham Avinu goes to war with the four and the five kings. He went with a very small army. He brings down, we do know that he went with Eliezer, maybe a 318 soldiers with him. But al piderach hateva, he should never have won the war. So why did he go out? Why did he go fight a war? So he brings like this, Ba'ayim ha-zayir ha-kadosh. I'm reading you from the fifth line. Shema shiyatza mishum shitzara delight. His family member's in pain. So he really should not be going to fight a war. But he heard that his family's in pain. I have to do something. I can't sit and do nothing. It's so important in halacha to understand what Avraham Avinu is doing. But Avraham, when someone feels the pain of somebody else, how can I sit and do nothing? Halacha might even let you do this. But I can't sit and do nothing. So look what he says. He says, I can't just sit and do nothing. You want to help out another Jew in pain? Hashem says, I'm going to help you. Nasu kol anisim shabol kol amala. All the other kings helped, and they helped Avraham Avinu. Ubeschus mashe tziras atzmai. Because he was mitzar himself, a loit ben achim, who wasn't a tzaddik, but is another Jew. Loit ha-yizeh shabachal lager ben. He chose to sit amongst the dam. He's a rasha. Shaya hepech midakish afilu achi. Avraham says, I don't care who you are. I don't care what type of a Jew you are. You're a rasha, but you're a Jew. Afilu achi is maisa nefesh. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of your Mesirash Nefesh, that even though you went to save a Rasha, I'm going to save the Jewish people who are in the 49th level of Tumah, because they're in pain, and they're suffering. So in the Schus, a new whole understanding of why Hashem helped us out, by Makas Becharis, by Chatzi Alayla, because Avraham Avinu felt the pain of a Rasha. You can feel the pain of a Rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bnei Yisrael on the 49th level of Tumah, and therefore I'm going to take the second half of the night, and I'm going to use that to, as we mentioned, Mashallah Shudit, to destroy the Egyptians, to kill out the firstborn. And now we have a new shot in the Kechatzois Halvayi. Kechatzois Halayla. Kechatzois is going to be because of what happened by the first Chatzois by Avraham Avinu. Just to conclude, we have another couple of minutes with a question. I'm still waiting for a good answer. I mentioned this Thursday night. I gave a share to the boys. One of them called me on Friday at the Teretz, but they'll tell it with the Olam. So, Gos, please ask this at your Seder also. And if you have a good Teretz, I'll give you a Teretz, but it's a really good question. Ask your wives this question too. Ma'aseh Rav Elazar, we start off to say that in order to understand this question, you have to follow, you have to know, obviously, a lot, how to learn, you have to learn Taisus, the Rambam, and others, so I'll try to do it in the minute that we have over here. Ma'aseh Rav Elazar, Rav Yeshua, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rav Tarfon, we know the story, they're all in Bnei Brak. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it was the year after Churban Beis HaMikdash, and they all got together. Taisus says, the order here seems to be not the right order, because Rabbi Akiva is more chashav than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's Taisus kasha. If you look in the middle of Taisus, Rabbi Akiva is chashav than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He was ahead. He was, because we find Rabbi Akiva v'chaveira. Rabbi Akiva is always mentioned by name. His friends are not. So we know Taisus. Taisus, Rabbi Akiva is great. Why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mentioned before Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinis and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar, they were older. So they were mentioned. We know that from the Gemara and Brachas. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua. Because if you remember the story, Ram Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, with Davni Meir, Rabbi Shusana, Rabbi Akiva was the one that was sitting there. He was the one who went to, he was chosen to go tell Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to become the Nasi. But he was older than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but he was a student, so Taisus is not bothered by that. He wants to know why Rabbi Akiva is mentioned after Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Look at his teretz. There is two teretz. One is because he was Asiri Lezra. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had Yichus. Rabbi Akiva comes from Gerim. The last three words, he was a Nasi. He was a Nasi. We say that in Agada. Ariani Kevenshim Shana. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, being that he has a leading post, he is mentioned before Rabbi Akiva. Good. Everybody understands Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is mentioned first because he's a Nasi. Now, throughout Shas, we've had that whenever it says Boy Bayoin, that's the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, and he dashed on that day. Boy Bayoin, Darish, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. All of them are Masechta Sidayim. Parak Dalet, Aleph through all the missions there. And the Rambam says, Kvar Amarnu, let's learn the Rambam. Shukamakim Shami Mishnah Boy Bayoin. It's La Isa Yam Shami Boy Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi. Good. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah becomes Nasi Boy Bayoin. Now, we have enough. Let's go back. This story. Is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the Nasi already? Yes, because that's why he's mentioned before Rabbi Akiva. Being that he has to be the Nasi, because Taisus is telling me the reason why he's mentioned before is the Nasi.
You're
so,
recording his name because he later became.
No, that wouldn't have been. No, it's Mashma because. I thought, yeah, sorry, you were saying. Sorry, heard me ask this question the other night. But he's going in the. If you're going in the. You're going in the story itself, okay.
Yeah, I think you have to say that, because I don't think this was the 1 year after, you know.
No, but it was. The Aruch HaShulchan proves it was the year after. He says it was the year after.
Well,
the answer
was
he was in Golos. Yeah, they were all right. They were all in Golos already.
No, I'm saying he was like, he was
with the Chayim. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's my question. So now, if you look at the next Rambam, so the Rambam says that if you look at the Mishnah Yadayim, all these Mandamar are mentioned there, but Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis is not mentioned. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis is Stam Rabbi Eliezer. So the Rambam says, we know the story of Elazar ben Horkinis, he got into an argument with Rabbanu, he was put into Cherim. Says the Pirush HaMishnayis, Kvar Oz Pirush Rabbi Elazar, he's not mentioned in the Mishnah in Yadayim, because he's not in the Beis Medrash anymore, because he had a Bikuach with the Chacham, and he's in Cherim. So if he's in Cherim at the time of the Boy Bayayim, how is he mentioned in the story? How could he be sitting with them? He's in Cherim. How could you have Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah sitting together? We just proved Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is already the Nasi, because he's mentioned before Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinis is already in Cherim. So how are they sitting at the same Seder together? That's my shaila. It's not my shaila. It's a question that's asked. But I need a Guteretz. How are they all sitting at the same? More than that, I asked the question the other night, Thursday night, when I gave the boys the shir. So the if you look at the Gemara, Masechta Beit.
He didn't stay in Cherim forever.
Yeah, he did, for the rest of his life. Because remember, he was buried afterwards. They didn't let him out of the house. They had to leave him in the house because he was in Cherim. Until years later, they took him out of the house. Until he died, he was in Cherim. If you look, and where did my other question is, if you look at the Gemara in Beitza, where did Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinis live? Kerem Avai Hayol Rabbi Elazar Mizrach Lud. He was in Lud. Now the same Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinis, again, Stam Rabbi Eliezer's Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinis, in Masechta Sukkah, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Mishabech ani asatzlanim." I praise those that are lazy because they don't leave their houses because you have to be samata atavesach, means you have to be with your wife. So how did he leave his wife? He's in Bnei Brak. He lived in Lud, so I'm assuming his wife was in Lud, and he holds you're not allowed to leave your wife on Yantif. So we have a bunch of questions here. Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinis is in Cherem, but he's sitting at a table with all these Gedolim. He also left his wife. Where are all the wives? Where were all their wives? By the Seder, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Elazar.
They're there all night. You can't expect women to be there all night.
No, they extended all night long. You don't know when this fight. It says they were sitting together in Bnei Brak. And they... It says they were sitting together, and we were their wife. Okay, so let's say their wives were. So you mean his wife?
Who said they weren't there?
What?
Maybe they were sitting there.
Huh? So they, imagine today you have all the rabbanim sitting together and the wife separate. I don't know if it would go well. I mean, you sit in the same with your wife. They were very chassidish. What? Oh, you mean the men were sitting on one room and the women were in another room and they had their own seder? That's not how you have a seder.
They were all together and then they got together for dessert. And they
it was probably dangerous to travel and they didn't go.
So the men, so but how did he leave his house when you're not supposed to leave your house? So you have to be with his wife.
Right.
Okay, maybe. Anyway, it's a child. But he couldn't have left. The kids are a maisa, yeah. The reason why you're not allowed to leave your wife is with samach, you have to be with your wife. You have to be with sameach, or spending time with her. But if there's a mitzvah, you tear some time all night. So the first night of Pesach, there's no mitzvah of simcha. And actually in halacha, in Kabbalah, it's in the iser to be with your wife. Iser tashmish on that night. Because of there's a mitzvah to be up all night. So it makes sense he was able to, every other yantav he's not allowed. The only night he was allowed to leave his wife was here. I isn't cherim. Anyway, there's a shach in Shulchan Aruch. It's a chiddush if this is what the teretz is, but maybe this is the teretz. When you're in cherim, it's also to be bedal ramas. Bedal ramas, the shach says, is only if you're in the same street or you're in a field together. But if you're in someone else's house, then there's no din in cherim. Chiddush gadol. You look at the shach on the sheet, it says the bedal ramas, therefore you have no choice. They should have come to him. But they couldn't come to him because he would have been a cherim. The only way he gets out of cherim is if he goes to someone else's house. Once he's in someone else's house, so now he's not in cherim anymore. So Rebbe Elazar had to leave his house because if he wanted to spend time with other people, the only way to do that is if you're in someone else's house. The shach says, avaloi bebayis acher. If you're in someone else's house, then there is no din in dalet ames. And therefore Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Rebbe Elazar ben Horkinus, they're all sitting together in B'nai Brak.